Would you turn in your Bible to Luke, the fifth chapter? The writer of this gospel, Luke, according to church historians, was an associate of the Apostle Paul. He gave us a very unique perspective on Jesus' life. We get our most detailed understanding of the birth of Christ from Luke. He's the only one that tells us about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he emphasizes more than anyone else Jesus' concern for the poor and the needy. In this text, Luke helps us remember how Jesus called the disciples. Would you follow along as I read from the living word of God as found in the scriptures? One day Jesus was standing beside Lake Gennesaret when the crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch." Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night, caught nothing. But because you say so, I'll drop the nets." So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. They filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, for I'm a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? In this moment, Lord, please help us to hear again your words of life. Save us from living out of our fears and prejudices. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Hello, I'm Chris Neen. I'm the senior pastor of the Hastings United Methodist Church. If you're joining us through online or cable access, welcome. We're glad that you're part of our extended congregation. If you reach into your bulletin, you'll pull out a GPS or a Grow, Pray, and Study guide. Every member or attender of our church has been challenged to set aside time in your day for prayer, scripture reading, and that daily quiet time is intended to be a daily reminder to have God in your daily life. And I hope you've taken up this challenge. This text made me start thinking about what's it like to fish with me? I can see what it's like to fish with Jesus. What's it like to fish with Chris Neen? About 3 years ago, given the opportunity, our family was on vacation. A group of men wanted to get a charter boat, and they invited me to come along. And I'm not big on fishing, but my daughter is nuts about fishing, and so I said, sure, we'd do that. I've never been on a charter boat before. When I found out how much it cost, I realized why I don't go on charter boats very often. But we got to the scene and got a picture taken, and this is in happier times before we actually went fishing. You can see how calm the water is in the back, and we're going on the real time, a seasoned crew. As soon as we got beyond the rock barrier for the harbor, the water completely changed. There are actually very rough seas that are out there. There was the edge of a storm that was taking place, and this little boat was bobbing around like a cork, like the minnow on Gilligan's Island. It was bounced all around. We had outriggers that were going into the water on both sides, and it didn't take very long before people started feeling nauseous, and soon there were men hanging over the sides, chumming into the water, and standing there, and I looked around, and I couldn't find my daughter. And so I went into that little cabin, and she had found a couch and a waste can that would be your constant companion for the rest of the trip. And we had fishing lines in the water, and all of a sudden we got into tuna. Now, when you think of tuna, you think of these great big fish, and they call them tuna. They're a nice-sized fish, but they aren't that big. But we were catching fish, and I really wanted Julie to have the experience of reeling in a fish. So I went into that little cabin, and I said, "Hey, Julia, we've gotten into some tuna. Come on out so you can catch one." And she didn't say anything. All she did was go, which said more than enough. So we caught these fish, and then we went back, and there was somebody on shore that was going to take these fresh fish and make a little lunch for us. I don't remember my daughter having a lot of that fish to eat, but that's what it's like to fish with me. It's not that pleasant an experience. What do you think it's like to fish with Jesus based on this story? Fantastic. In fact, doing anything with Christ would be fantastic. Going to a wedding would be really interesting because the water would get turned into wine. Or going to a banquet would be fun with Jesus because a little amount of food would be multiplied and everybody would eat to their full. Going to a funeral would be awesome with Jesus because typically the dead person would be brought back to life. Or going fishing with Jesus. I don't know if anybody's ever explained to you that when we read the Gospels, really what we're picking up is the second and third year of Jesus' three-year ministry. We don't know much about the first year of Jesus' ministry. We have some clues. John the Baptist baptized Jesus when he was beginning his ministry. But for that first year, Jesus went around the Sea of Galilee. There were about 15 communities that surrounded the Lake Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee. And that's where Jesus carried out most of his ministry, teaching, and people were becoming aware of him, and people were beginning to get really curious, and faith was starting to grow about this person, Jesus. In fact, when Jesus goes up to Peter and says, "Can I use your boat as a pulpit?" it's not a complete stranger that's coming up to Peter. Peter knows who Jesus is. James and John know who Jesus is. They're familiar with him. In fact, Bible scholars believe that it was only a couple weeks earlier that Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law of a serious illness. So when Jesus comes up and says, "Hey, Peter, can I use your boat?" Peter says, "Sure." So they pull the boat out a little ways from shore, so because there's so many people there, Jesus has become very popular. And he sits down to teach his lesson. I want to pause there. That sitting down to me caught my attention. There's so much pressure on churches right now to be entertaining and for pastors to be very dynamic, you know, like Jimmy Bob Coltrane, and kind of prance around and really show that the anointing is on you. And I'm reading this text, and when Jesus taught, he sat down. That was the custom of the day. Does anybody question whether Jesus' message was anointed that day? What he was saying could be life-changing? It just really gave me pause that really what we want, no matter how it's packaged, is the truth about God's kingdom and the gospel of Christ. Something that we can ponder and think and commit ourselves to. Just something to think about. So Jesus finishes his lesson, and then he turns to Peter and he said, "Let's go fishing." Peter balks because he's already been up all night long and they haven't caught anything. As far as he knows, Jesus is a carpenter's son. He doesn't know anything about fishing. But he says, "If you want to do that, Lord, I'll do it." One of the keys that you'll see to every single one of the disciples, the followers of Christ, is they all had this one common thread. When Christ asked them to do something, they said, "Yes, Lord." Even doubting Thomas. Remember that scene where it's toward the end of Jesus' ministry and Christ is heading back to Jerusalem, and everyone knows that when Jesus gets back there, he's going to be put to death. He has real enemies back in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, let's go to Jerusalem. The rest of the disciples are balking, but it's Thomas. Doubting Thomas said, let's go with Jesus to die in Jerusalem. There was sort of that note of it too. That's the thing that the disciples of Christ have in common. When they have a sense of what God wants them, us, to do, they say, yes, Lord. They trust everything else. And so Jesus says to Peter, launch out into the deep. When I read that text, my spirit was caught there. Launch out into the deep. I remember reading a book by Mark Rutledge. He's an evangelist in the United Methodist Church down in Texas when I was in seminary. And the book was entitled, Launch Out into the Deep. And as I was preparing for a profession and a life of challenging people to launch out in the deep, as I was thinking about what it's like to challenge churches to launch out in the deep, I was thinking what it was like to be a man who's following Christ and trying to launch out of the deep myself. What is it about that phrase that catches my spirit? And it has something to do with pushing through, taking a risk, being more than you think that you are. Because in this text, one of the things that Jesus is teaching Peter and the other disciples is that when they listen to him, they will do far more than they ever thought that they could ever do. And I think the same lesson is being taught to us. You are far more than you think that you are. Do you think that Simon Peter, when he's washing that net, tending that net, drying out that net, has any concept of the fact that he'll be the leader of a worldwide church? His ability to say yes to the right person at the right time is what led him into an entirely different life. And it ought to make us all pause and think, what would happen in my life if I said yes to Christ? What would I accomplish if I said yes to Christ? So they launch out in the deep water, they put down their nets, and they catch so many fish that Simon's boat is starting to sink. It's getting down to the gunny whales. There's a wonderful magazine, if you can pick it up at the library, take a look at it. It's called Biblical Theology. And it keeps track of the various digs. There's always archaeological digs that are taking place in the Holy Land, the surrounding countries of Israel and Israel. One of the things that's really interesting about that is they've never found anything in any of these biblical digs in the Holy Land that has contradicted anything that's in our scriptures. If the Bible tells us that something happened, typically if they dig long enough in the sands, they'll find something to prove that that group of people existed or this event took place. It's really interesting. Well, one of the things that happened by accident a number of years ago is there was a severe drought and the Sea of Galilee or Lake Gennesaret lost a lot of water and the shoreline receded to the point where they found a wooden boat, when carbon dated, went all the way back to the time of Jesus. So they actually have a sense of what these boats look like. And people who know about such thing calculate that a fishing boat like the one that Jesus was in could hold about a ton of fish. So imagine these fishermen hauling in 1 ton of fish, and they still have fish to pull in, so they call James and John over, and they begin to fill their boat up to the point where their boat begins to sink. We're talking about almost 2 tons, almost 4,000 pounds of fish. And when Peter sees this, he's overwhelmed. And he falls down to his knees. Now think of the other times in the Bible when people fell down on their knees. When Job was in the presence of God, he fell down to his knees. When Isaiah was in the presence of God, he fell down to his knees. When Peter's in the presence of Jesus, he falls down on his knees. and he calls him Lord. You make the association. What's happening here is the birth of the church. This is why people followed Christ. When Peter, James, John, these men and women had encounters with Christ, they could not imagine anyone being greater than this man. Not Moses, not Elijah, not even Abraham. They couldn't imagine anyone that would come that would be a greater Messiah than this man. That's why they call him the ruler of rulers, the king of kings. If anybody should be allowed to judge humanity, it should be this man. Nobody has ever done or is going to do what this man did. That's why they left their boats and they followed him. And so the question is, we're beginning 2016. Now we see what happened in Peter's boat when Jesus was in the boat. What would happen in your life, in your boat, if Jesus was here in your boat? I want you to think about the problems that you're facing right now. The upcoming week. The appointments on your calendar. The lists of things that you're trying to get done. The priority that they're in. What would happen if you said in your prayer this morning as you came forward for communion, I really want you to be in charge of this. This has never been about what I can do. Jesus, I'd be really curious what you could do with this problem, what you could do with these appointments. How would you prioritize this list? I'm really open to listening to you and doing what you want me to do based on the circumstances that I'm facing, based on the reality that I'm living in. What do you want to do now? For Peter, this catch of the fish was a foreshadowing of what he would be doing. He would be leading many to faith in Christ. In Acts, the second chapter, he leads thousands to faith with one sermon. For most of us, when we hear that call to ask Jesus to be in our boat, Jesus will lead us right back to where we came from, to the house that we live in, to the family that we have, the children and grandchildren that we're raising and we're responsible for, the job where we work. The difference will be Christ in us. Christ in our words, Christ in our actions. And what you might find is that you will say things that you didn't think you'd say. Or you might not say things that you would ordinarily say. Or you would do things that are completely out of the ordinary for you. Or you might find that there are certain things that you always do that you're really having a sense, I need to stop doing that. That's what it means to be called. And for each and every one of us, it will be different. And yet it will be the same because it's Christ in the boat. It's Christ in us that's making the difference. Our job is to just say yes when we have a sense of what Christ wants us to do. What I can guarantee you is what Luke delights in telling people is that when ordinary people, and Luke goes out of his way to say, hey, these men and women that were following Christ, they are ordinary people. There's no indication that any of them were elected to be most likely to succeed or most popular. And not that that discounts anybody. But that's not the criteria. That's not what God's looking for. What God is looking for in every single one of the examples of faithfulness that we see is, yes, Lord. Yes, I'll launch out into the deep. Yes, I'll do the thing that you're asking me to do. And Luke delights in telling us and showing us what happened to those men and women when they did that. In Peter's case, he caught more fish than he ever thought he'd ever catch. There was a blessing at the end of that. It was wonderful. It was exciting. For each and every one of us, the text is saying that when we say yes to God, there's a blessing waiting for us at the end as well. I don't know what it will look like. Mother Teresa was fond of saying to the sisters, little sisters of the poor, before they started, let's go do something beautiful for Christ. Whatever it is that God wants to do in your life, it will be beautiful. It will be healing. It'll be reconciling. It will be good. It will touch you and it will touch others. And so the question for each one of us as we launch out into 2016, the thing that I want to challenge you as you're coming forward for communion, would you like Jesus to be in the boat? To be in charge? To tell you where to launch out and what to do? Amen.